Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Whisker Report. We're a new podcast dedicated to helping anyone in the pet industry. Whether you're in animal welfare or for-profit pet company, get some PR and buzz for your nonprofit or business. I am Alexandre Ricard, one of the hosts of the show, and I'm usually joined with Mary Tan, but today we have a little technical issue. She's locked out of her house. So I'm just doing the intro. Hi, everybody. And we're here with our producer, Mark Winter of Pet Life Radio. Mark, how are you? You're not locked out of your house.
I'm not locked out of my house. And if I was, it's only like, you know, 70 degrees outside. So it's okay. It's not five, yeah, like where Mary is.
Yeah, Mary is in Minnesota and it's currently 5 degrees Fahrenheit. And we haven't heard from her in a few minutes. So
maybe
we hope she's okay.
Maybe she froze up and she's like just like an icicle and she's like standing there holding the phone.
Oh, poor Mary. We're thinking of you. And so we're so honored to be part of the Pet Life Radio Network. And we're here to show you that you can do PR for yourself. And we're going to help you each and every week. And today we have a fellow podcast host who Mark knows very well as he's also producing her show. Isabel Alvarez Arata wears so many hats that it was so hard to choose which one to tell you about. But she's a pet entrepreneur with a passion for content writing and marketing. She's the host of Covered in Pet Hair, a fun, boozy podcast show for pet lovers. I met Isabel back at Super Zoo in 2023. And I remember bonding with her through a love of living abroad, different cultures, and also the fact that she does TNR in Texas. Hi, Isabel. Welcome on our show. We're so happy that you're here.
I am thrilled to be here. Thank you for inviting me. And I, too, am thrilled that I am not locked out. I'm sending Mary all my love and warm vibes for a quick resolution here.
Yeah, we hope she figures it out. Isabel, can you give a little introduction of yourself and maybe how you started to work in the pet industry? Because that was not your background at the beginning, was it?
No, it was not. It's been a long and winding road. I started a professional pet sitting dog walking business in the Northern Virginia area, so the DC suburbs, in 2008. And I grew that business to multiple six figures with over 20 employees, about 500 active clients, and then the pandemic hit. And obviously the DC area with all the government workers in military and government contractors, our business was mostly midday dog walking while people were at work, and it just came to a screeching halt. And I had been running that business for 5 years remotely. So there was really no way for me to rebuild that business once that happened, knowing that the DC area, even to this day, is kind of at 50% work from home still. So I just had the forethought to say, like, this is not a viable business anymore, not only because of our business focus on midday dog walks, but also because of my geographic location having changed and not being very conducive to rebuilding the business. So I shut that down and I pivoted to writing, which was something that I didn't even have on my radar. A friend of mine from the pet sitting industry recommended me for some magazines because I had written a pet column in my area while I was running my business just for fun. And I guess she thought of me when they were thinking of freelance writers. She approached me. I didn't have anything else going on, so I took it. I took the opportunity. And now I write full time. I write for pet businesses specifically. I also write for magazines still, but that's the journalism work is a lot less of what I do. And it's kind of becoming something that I do on occasion because I've so much demand for my content creation and content writing and search engine optimized content that I put out for pet businesses. So I work specifically with pet businesses to promote themselves online, whether it be through their blogs, through their website copy, or through their social media presence. So that is where I am, I guess, specializing now. It's like I said, it's been a long and windy road, but writing really is my passion. I could do it 24/7 and never get tired of it. So it is I am very grateful for the changes while they were pretty traumatic when it happened, right? I am very happy and very grateful, and I have wonderful clients, and I really enjoy writing about pets.
But it's inspiring to see that you took something, you know, like a big challenge, which was to change completely your business, to actually find your true passion. So I'm actually really happy for you. I think COVID was a bit bittersweet for you because it closes your business down, but it opens so many new doors.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm a mom of young children. So professional pet sitting is a very time intensive, very logistically challenging business. I know that because I did it for 12 years. And for a person who's building a family simultaneously to a business, it's very challenging. So this really does fit my lifestyle a lot better. And it allows me to work from anywhere. And like you said, I love to travel. I have family in Spain. I had family in South Florida for a long, long time, and I would go and spend the summers there with my kids, or I would go, you know, I would go help my sister with her new baby for a few weeks in Spain, and I can work from anywhere. So that is really a positive of the change that came from COVID.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
We're so excited to hear more about what you do, but first we need to take a little quick break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with Isabel. So, Isabel, you were just talking about your pet sitting business in Virginia that was quite successful. And I want to ask you, what was the bigger challenge? How did you make it so successful? You said you had 500 clients. That's a lot. What happened? Like, that's a huge success.
Yes, it was very successful. I think that the area, the demand was obviously there. I'd like to tell this story because I think it's a really great way to highlight entrepreneurship. I actually did not set out to start a professional pet sitting business. I was looking for a dog walker for my dog. And the businesses that existed were so busy that they never called me back. I would joke that, like, here I am, you know, I don't know, 16 years later, still waiting for a return call from all of those pet sitting companies that I reached out to. They were so busy. And I had done pet sitting, you know, during college just to help my family's friends or my neighbors. And so I said, I can do this. Like, this is not a challenge. And I was working in the hospitality industry and it was very demanding. It was the commute was getting really old. I felt like I wasn't really happy. So it was either leave that hotel chain and go to another one or try something new. And I decided to, you know, try something new. My parents are entrepreneurs. So it felt comfortable for me. I know that's a big step for a lot of people. And I just started doing the dog walks myself, building territories and little by little hiring people to take over the established territories, starting new territories. And little by little, I was creating this clientele, you know, having to hire assistant managers, having to hire more staff. I had dog walkers, I had pet sitters. And I will tell you this, I had amazing staff members. That was really the key. I think that one of my talents is recognizing talent in others. And so I was a really good recruiter and I was a really good delegator. I trusted my team. So I let them do what they did best. And I would also joke with my peers who were scared to hire, you know, like some pet sitters just want to do the work themselves. And I would say, I think some of my pet sitters are actually better at it than I am. You know, they're not worried about the business side of it. They're just worried about the love of the pet and making sure their needs are met. And so I always liked to delegate those responsibilities so that I could manage the business. And eventually, after 7 years of being in the field full time and running my business, I transitioned out of the business and I started just managing. And it really allowed me to train people, elevate the standards, make sure that, you know, we had a comprehensive training program so that everybody, no matter what territory they were in, they were providing the same quality of care. So it was really grassroots. Like, it was little by little, just learning what I needed and rising to the occasion and getting out of my comfort zone, like most entrepreneurs have to do.
Yeah.
And learning as you go, right? I think you don't really know what's coming, but you have to have kind of like that desire to just roll with the punches. And thankfully, we never had any pets injured, loss, no dog bite incidents. You know, a lot of people think, oh my gosh, I would never want to go into a business with animals just because of the risks. We did it right. We did it well. We had the right people. We qualified our clients well, so we knew they were a good match for us. So we really had a 12-year run where we set standards for even our industry. I won an award, the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters awarded my business the 2012 Business of the Year Award. So like, it was really a labor of love, as most small businesses are, and just finding the right people to expand the vision and mission of the business.
Good for you. But I just wonder, so to have that many clients, to grow so much, did you focus on marketing or was it more like community outreach, mouth to mouth? Like, how was it?
Well, interestingly, I think that I came into it in 2008 when most businesses were just starting to get their websites. So having a website was always on my radar, always doing it right. I'm a writer. Naturally, I always have loved to write. So my copy was good. So that digital marketing aspect was always part of my business. I was young compared to a lot of my peers in the industry. A lot of the peers in the industry were retirees who started a small business in pet care. And so I was more comfortable with social media and online marketing. And absolutely, most of my clients came from just Google searches, organic search results where my business showed up on top. And we did that for a very long time. Eventually, obviously, there was a little bit of like paid ads online. We did some AdWords kind of campaigns. We did a lot of social media where we showcased what we were doing, told our story. We did a lot of internal marketing to our existing clientele, always massaging the relationships that we already had, what I think people forget to do. We did a lot of that. And we also just created kind of like a buzz. Like you said, the word you used when you introduced the show, we created a buzz because we were more present than maybe the businesses that came before us who had instant success because they didn't have much in the way of competitors, right? So we did a lot of new things that maybe other people weren't doing that now are just considered basic. Now it's just, you have to have social media presence. You have to have a website. Oh, yeah. When I started, it was kind of optional. And we did all of it. I did all of it. And I think I'm naturally good at marketing because I like to tell stories and I like to talk to people. I think that's harder for people who are introverted to share their story and they struggle with, what am I going to say? I never have a problem knowing what to say, whether it's right or wrong, I say it. So I think that really helped. And even to this day, I help a lot of professional pet sitting businesses. And these are businesses, my clients are businesses that have been around for 20, 30 years, and they still have a hard time telling their story. So what I do is I tell it for them.
I love that. And so, yeah, I was going to ask you actually, so how different it is now, like nowadays, that everybody's on social media and has a website. So you still have your own business. It's just a bit different now. You focus on marketing and content writing. Do you find the way you have to promote your business different? Do people find you on Google search, or is it different?
It's totally different because really B2B and B2C are different, right? Business to business is mostly referral. Like for me, it's really mostly referral. I'm sure you see that, you know, at Whiskers Media. So I see that more because I worked with these people. They were my peers. They were my colleagues. We would go to conferences together. We were in the same kind of trenches for a long time. And now they reach out to me because they know I understand their business and they know I understand what they do and what their clients are looking for and what their challenges are. So it just works. But when you're advertising to consumers, You have to use every means possible. And one of the things that helped me, and that, you know, you will obviously resonate with this, is that I started to write a local pet column while I ran my pet care business. And I got so many clients for that. And I remember, I think I made $25 for each column, which honestly, I would have done it for free, but they offered me $25. So I took it.
Yeah, take what you get.
Exactly. But the only thing was that I would say, like, my byline said, Isabel Alvarez at the time, owner of the Wag Pack, professional pet care, pet sitting, dog walking. So I know I got clients from that. And it was worth it, because even though I was a new writer and I was nervous and I would edit for like 3 hours for that $25, it was presence and it was credibility. And so now I talk to my clients about getting in the media for that credibility, but also creating your own media channels on your platforms, whether it's your website or social media or whatever it is, because then maybe the media will take notice if you are putting yourself out there as an expert in your field.
Exactly. That's exactly what we tell our clients, is that you should put yourself out there. You should promote yourself as the expert in that field.
Yes.
And Mary had me write my first article for Pet Age a couple weeks ago about Gen Z workers. And I was, it was my first article. So I was like, redoing it, rewriting it, deleting everything, rewriting it. It took me like a week and I was like so stressed about it. But Mary was like, Alex, you're a Gen Z expert now. And I was like, yes, I am.
Exactly. And this is the thing. I think a lot of people, especially in the pet industry, they like the industry because of the pets and the connection that they share with the pets. And a lot of them are very humble. A lot of them have so much knowledge, but they feel like, well, I'm not like a professional dog trainer through whatever, you know, expensive program. So I don't know. And I'm like, you've been working face to face with dogs or cats or both for 20 years. You've cared for thousands of pets in that time. So you are an expert. And it's funny to see their reactions. Like, I don't know. I'm not convinced I'm an expert. And I'm like, I am telling you that you know more than you think you do, and that people want to hear about it, because I think that's really what it comes down to, is that a lot of pet people want to just put their head down and work, right? They just want to care for the pets. They just want to fix the problem with the dog behaviors their clients are coming with them to them with. They want to, you know, plan the holiday pet care so that everybody, you know, has a wonderful trip and the pets are taken care of, and all the services that they offer, they just want to focus on those. But you can't, in this day and age where competitors pop up at any moment, you can't just do that, because then when those clients move away or that pet passes away, you don't have anybody to replace them with, right? So like, it's really the challenge now is to think about the clients you have, the clients you need to replace those clients, the growth that you want to see. All of that has to come into play. And when you're putting your head down and just focusing on the pets, like, it's really hard for people to take notice, especially with so much noise and potential competitors out there. Gen Z is the perfect example of who's going to come in, you know, and say, I want to start my own pet care business. I can walk dogs. You know, I can take care of cats. And they'll come in and, you know, the person who's been in business for 20 years will all of a sudden say, why am I not getting so many leads anymore? And it's because they were kind of resting on their laurels, right?
Yeah. And I think Gen Z is also really good at storytelling, because we grew up with social media. Like, invented the vlogs, right? When you're just like talking to your phone about your day and everything. So we're like doing storytelling all day, every day to even our friends.
Correct.
Which the older generation are not doing. I mean, I've never seen my mom doing a vlog about her day, right?
My mother would rather go, you know, to the doctor for like a painful procedure than ever vlog her day. Like,
exactly.
She would say, and it's the same idea of, why would I do that? Nobody cares. Like, who wants to know about my day? And as a professional pet sitter, who I think has an amazing job, because professional pet sitters and dog walkers and dog trainers, some specialize in very difficult things, but there are dog trainers that specialize in puppies, right? They are working with pets under the best of circumstances, whereas veterinarians, vet techs, they're working with them when there are challenges and there is bad news. So for me, when I was a pet sitter, I would say my clients always love me because, like, when I walked in, I was like, you know, J-Lo walking into, like, I don't know where, to, like, a fancy restaurant in New York. For the pet in my care, I was everything.
Yeah.
And so you always have, like, sure, you have sick pets sometimes. Sure, things happen. But 90% of the time, the job is amazing. And so other people want to hear about it. Other people want to be like, you, how many cats did you care for today? How many homes did you drive to? How many dogs did you walk at one time? How many puppies were at this dog training class? And how many times did you have to stop to pick up an accident? You know, those things people want to know. It's like this curiosity that we have, especially those people. Yeah, especially those people who are sitting in a 9-to-5 desk. You know, they want to know what the pet sitter was up to today while they were, you know, crunching numbers in the accounting department.
Exactly. So yeah, we cannot stress enough how important storytelling is for your business. So focus on that for sure. Promote yourself. And a way Isabel do that is you are a keynote speaker, right?
Yes.
So you do public speaking?
I do. I started doing that when I was in the industry. And it was one of those things where they wanted a member of the association to, like, do a little, you know, 10 things I learned about pet sitting in my first year or something. And I was like, I'll do it. Right. Yeah. Like, I've always been one of those people who I don't need to be perfect. I don't have a lot of, like, you know, concerns about being in public. I know some people don't like to be the center of attention. I love it. So I was like, I'll do it, you know, and I've always been a big volunteer. Like, when there's nobody else to take a job, I'll do it. You know, I'll knock it out.
I feel like you're a very yes person.
I am. Yeah. And you know what? I do believe that the more we say yes, the more the universe says yes to us. So I'm like always like, let's do it. Let's collaborate. Let's team up. And so I would start saying, sure, I'll do that for a webinar where maybe 3 people showed up. And then they started to see that I enjoyed it and that the participants enjoyed it. So they asked me maybe to do something a little bit bigger. And this year, you know, 16 years, 17 years almost into my career in the pet industry, I was the keynote speaker at the National Association of Professional Pet Sitters Conference in Georgia. And I've spoken at the Texas Pet Sitters Conference. I'm their annual MC for their conference. So I am the one who, like, keeps track of scheduling and makes sure everything goes off well. And I was also invited to other, you know, other things that maybe have happened online.
Mm-hmm.
I always say yes. I always, you know, as long as my schedule allows me to properly prepare for it, I love to cooperate and I love the industry I'm in. I really do feel like pet sitting and dog walking is like the ugly stepsister of the pet industry. Nobody thinks of the pet sitters or dog walkers until they need them. You know, the dog food makers are like everybody, you know, of course we use that 2-3 times a day, maybe. So like we think about them, but the professional pet sitter that you use, maybe when you go away for the holidays, you don't think about them until you need them. But I get the industry and I consider myself a pet sitting industry advocate, trying to get people to understand the benefits of in-home pet care versus like a boarding situation. The benefits of midday dog walking for people who are so busy, families who are so overwhelmed, the ease of delegating something that's so crucial for our pets' happiness and health. I love to promote that. So they see that passion in me and they say, hey, come back and, you know, keynote. I did the closing address this year at NAPS as well, you know, encouraging. And my keynote this year was actually about storytelling and telling them that I think people don't know enough about what pet sitting entails because we're not telling them.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no one better to promote your own business than yourself. So you should tell the people what your business looks like, what is your daily life. Do you feel like your public speaking events, whether it's a webinar, whether it's a conference, do you find that it helped promote your business? Did you make any connection there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you, as a keynote speaker, you're established by the organization that brings you in as an industry expert, right?
Exactly.
You are the person that of all the people they could have chosen, they invited you to be a keynote speaker. And what's interesting is one of my competitors was the person who former competitors in the pet sitting industry, was the one who recommended me for that keynote, because she says that she always enjoys my speeches. And she used to hire me to speak to her staff when we were competitors, because she and I had a very similar outlook on business and qualifying clients. And she said, you know what? I'm going to bring you in and say, see, this is the industry standard. We are industry experts. Let's elevate together, even though we're competitors. And that is why she asked me so many years later to come back, and the association invited me to come back, and they could have chosen anybody. So of course it speaks to me as somebody who stands out as an industry expert, and if nothing else, an industry advocate, right? Because I am passionate about this industry.
I love that. So instead of seeing your competitors as the enemy, see them as an inspiration.
Oh, for sure. I don't believe in competitors. In my business for content creation, I only work with one person in each market, just because I want the voice to be really unique and stand out in the crowd. I will do copywriting for like a website, but the blogging, I only take one client in each market. But I always tell my clients, tell me about your other, like your colleagues in your industry, because we're going to write about what we can do, but maybe there's somebody who services a city nearby that we can also talk about. Maybe there's somebody that specializes in medicating, you know, very ill pets, or sub-Q or insulin shots, and you don't do that. Somebody that was a former vet tech, we can talk about them, and it still helps our platform. It helps our blog and our credibility, and that EEAT for Google, right? It boosts that while also contributing to the pet parent community in your area, giving them resources, because that's really what content it is. It's education and resources that makes you stand out as the industry expert. So networking, I never see client like competing businesses from the owner perspective as a competitor, because everybody has a specialty. Everybody has a niche. Some people are great with puppies. Some companies I only trust with my old geriatric senior special needs dogs. You know, some people are going to be focused on budget. Some people are going to be focused on, you know, availability of schedule. Everybody's got different problems to solve. So, and not every business is for every client. So partnering within your local community means that you can say, I'm sorry, Mr. Client, I'm not the best pet sitter for you, but this person is a great resource. And you never know, that person might turn around and give you a great Google review. Like, I couldn't work with them, but I called them and they gave me great resources. I really think they're a great company. You never know what you're going to get. So always giving, right? In the hopes of it all working out in the end.
I absolutely love that. And I think people should do that more often instead of seeing people as the enemy. So I really like that advice. So talking about those public speaking events, you also are a big networker, because that's how I met you, at like a networking event. And I want you to tell people how important it is that you put yourself out there in those networking events that can be a bit uncomfortable, because sometimes you don't know anyone and you actually have to mingle with people. And I hate being the center of attention. So I'm the opposite of you in that way. And I know that sometimes I find it really hard. I remember when I met you, I was with Mary and I was like, I think that's covered in pet hair. I think that's covered in pet hair. And Mary was like, you need to go talk to her. And I was like, oh God, okay. And it was so hard for me to just go to you and be like, hi, are you the podcast covered in pet hair?
I am honored that you like picked me out of a crowd. I love that so much. And I do think that it's easier for people like me who are extroverted to go in and be like, hey. But the reality is, you're offering a service. You want your community to know about that service. Like, what good is that service if nobody knows about it? It's like if a tree falls in the forest, right? Nobody's there to hear it. Yeah. Does it make a sound? Same question. If you're providing a service and nobody knows that it exists, then what are you doing? Why are you providing this? So the reality is, you are a resource for pet parents in your area. And there are, you know, realtors are resources for home buyers or sellers, and veterinarians are resources in their own way, and doctors are resources in their own way. And when you go with the mentality of sharing what you do and contributing to your community, I feel like it takes that pressure off. No, you're not going to sell anything.
Yeah.
No, you're not going to connect and meet people in like a cheesy, salesy way, which is, I think, what holds people back. It's like, I have to go with my business card and I have to have like a spiel to share. Just go and say, hey, hi, I'm Isabel. How are you? What brings you here today? And start a conversation and let things happen organically. And the reason, case in point, I went to a Chamber of Commerce event when I was running my pet sitting business. And that's how I met the publisher of the local newspaper that then brought me on as a writer with zero experience. All I had to show her was my newsletters that went out to clients. That's all the writing I had really done. And they liked that enough to give me the position. And I was very bold. I was 30 years old. So like really still quite young when I look back. And I said, do you all have a pet column? She said, no, we've been thinking about it. I was like, I'll write it.
Here you go.
Zero experience, zero anything. I'll write it. And I really was saying, I didn't say for free, but what I meant was, give me the opportunity. I'll do it for free, right? Yeah. Just because, again, it's, I have this knowledge. I have this service. Let me contribute and see what happens. And so when you go with that kind of idea that you're just sharing and you're just learning about what other resources are there, maybe you're a pet sitter and you want to meet realtors, right? Because those realtors know where the pet friendly living areas are. Maybe you can refer to them. Maybe you go thinking, hey, I want to write blogs about people in my area that are pet friendly. Let me go meet some realtors. Let me go meet some, you know, cleaning companies. Let me go meet some flooring companies and just, hi, you're a flooring company. I'd love to write about you. And can I interview you and give me three reasons why vinyl plank is a great thing for pet owners, right?
Think like, outside of the box.
Think about ways that you can connect with people without a sales pitch. Like, what can I do for you? Can I write about your business? Can you give me some of your expertise about flooring, carpeting, cleaning, you know, buying a home with pets? What should I be thinking about? What neighborhoods are most pet friendly? Can I interview you and feature you in my blog? And then now you have a connection. Now you have something for your social media and for, because I reuse everything. So we start on the blog and then now we're going to tag them on social media. We're going to make a meme maybe. We're going to make a graphic. We're going to maybe do a reel about that conversation I had with somebody. So my husband always teases me. Everything is content. Everything is content. And it's true because everything is content. These days, like you said, we want stories. We want to hear what people are doing. We want to see those partnerships in the community. If you're working solo, you're on an island. There are so many people out there who want your services or products. And the only way to reach them is to get to know those people who are in the same world. Your pet parents, your pet lovers, your, you know, I have a realtor friend here who I know through the military, and I had him on my show and we talked about the challenges of finding pet friendly rentals. And that was a really great show because there are people out there who really are struggling to find a place to live because they have pets. And did it do anything for him? Not really. I mean, he was able to share it. He's like a top producer. So like, it didn't get him any clients, but now he is, you know, forever on the internet as an expert in helping people find homes when there are challenges, whether they're pet or something else. So thinking about how things are not sales, like there's not an immediate sale coming, but everything is a seed you plant, makes it a lot more palatable to attend these events and kind of just like not put so much pressure on yourself. Like you are the representative of your business. All you have to say is hi. If ever, you know, you have a client who needs a pet sitter, if anybody, you know, as a realtor, for example, the solution you offer is you can walk dogs while they're showing houses, right? Let's team up. Like, yeah. I'll walk the dogs while you show the house. And that's a solution the realtor's probably been looking for a long time because nobody likes to show a house when a dog is barking from their crate. It's maddening, right?
Yeah, that is so very true.
Think about the ways that you offer solutions and think about the ways that you can contribute to your community and take the sales out of it.
I love that. And I have a little quick question before we end the show. It's about your rescue part of it. So I know you do TNR in Texas and you're also a big rescue advocate. Remember about our conversation. How do you use the rescue world to promote your business as well? And how important it is for you to do rescue even for your personal branding. I know we're not doing rescue to, yes, you know, for ourselves. I know that, but
I think that it kind of, it's part of my passion, right? Like, mm-hmm, I am such a rescue advocate. I am constantly educating about the myths of your, you know, all rescues have issues, or all rescues have behavior or trauma. And I'm like, you know, every animal's an individual. I like to forget where they came from and look at them at face value right now. And can I work with this animal? Can I help them from where we are and what I have to give? So I'm always educating, whether I'm, you know, writing for my clients. And we talk about, for example, a couple weeks ago was, you know, celebrate Shelter Week. I wrote for all of my clients, highlighting shelters in their areas that stand out as really doing what I call the Lord's work, right? Helping. Yeah. They help the community. They keep our houses and our neighborhoods safe by doing TNR, by picking up strays, by making sure that there are no, you know, rabid dogs running rampant in our areas, right? Like, they do so much that I think people forget. So it's important for me to educate and remind people of how important rescues and shelters are for our communities. And I also feel like it is our responsibility as pet lovers. If we can't support by doing TNR, we can't support by fostering, then maybe we support by donating. But those things, if we really truly care about not only the animals, but our communities, getting involved is really an important part of being an active member of your community, of your city, of your state. Texas is a very big state. I can only help in El Paso, and I support New Mexico too, because I'm 10 minutes from Las Cruces. So I adopted my cat from a, you know, shelter or rescue in Las Cruces, and I support them every month with a donation on his behalf. And I try to remember that these rescues and shelters are doing such important work for our quality of life, not just the pet's quality, like the animals in question's quality of life, that I want to include it. And so I'm a Mission Meow partner, which is a really wonderful organization that, you know, kind of funds big projects for rescues and shelters. And so that comes straight out of my business budget. Every month that goes straight to them, because I believe in what they're doing. I believe in the importance of the work that they're doing. And that's at a national level. And I also believe in helping locally. And so once my kids are older, I want them to join in TNR. I think it's really important to teach future generations about contributing to our community. And I am passionate about pets, but there are people who are passionate about special needs children or the elderly or the disability community. And whatever you're passionate about, and in our case, we're on a pet podcast, so we can all assume we're passionate about pets. That's where we kind of give what we can. And nobody's expecting everybody to give all their time, all their money to this, but find a way to contribute, because to me, that's part of my vision and mission for my business and for my life.
And I was at a networking pet event a few days ago, and a lot of people were like, I really want to help rescues, but my business is not doing amazing, so I just don't have the money for it. And I said, just donate a bit of your time. So if you're, yes, an expert, if you're a pet sitter, for example, or a dog walker, and your business might not be doing amazing, so you don't have enough money to donate, just donate some of your time. Just go walk some dogs, or, exactly, you know, bring the community together. Ask all of your clients, hey, let's do a day where we all walk the dogs at the shelter.
Yes.
So something to keep in mind, that you don't always have to donate money. Sometimes it's just also liking on social media, sharing animals for adoption. I know having a rescue, that's very important. So yeah, just a little reminder.
Write a blog. When I adopted my cat, I wrote a blog about it, and I tagged I linked back to the rescue that I got it from, that I got him from. I shared on social media, I tagged them on it. And you know how valuable that is for the shelters in, like, exactly, a search engine optimization, you know, in that realm. Any link that you give them is love, and it grows their credibility, it grows their following. So that doesn't cost you anything than maybe an hour to write the blog. And honestly, if you don't have an hour to write the blog, just post a picture and tag them on social media that they can maybe reshare. And then now you're helping each other because they shared it and now their followers see you. So it's really thinking about everything symbiotically, like everything we all, nothing occurs in a vacuum. Nobody lives on an island. We're all together. So by using your resources and just opening up your heart and your mind a little bit, maybe getting a little bit uncomfortable, because a lot of people, this, the thought of tagging a rescue on their social media is like, why would I tag them? I'm not cool enough or big enough to tag. Yes, you
just
are.
Do it. Yeah.
Yes, you are. You are cool enough. You are big enough to tag anybody. Tag me all day long, please. Link back to my website so I can get bigger and bigger on Google. Everybody wants that love. So don't feel bad about it.
Talking about that, Isabel, where can people find you? Can you give us your socials or your website?
Yes, I'm covered in pet hair everywhere, in online and in real life. I am covered in pet hair. I have a website, coveredinpethair.com. I'm on Pet Life Radio as Covered in Pet Hair. All of my socials are covered in pet hair. And what you'll see a lot of is mostly clips from my show, pictures of my cat, pictures of my kids, pictures of my life that I just share. And in all of the things that I try to share, I try to promote rescue. I try to promote education. I try to promote kind and gentle pet parenting, positive dog training techniques, cat training techniques. I specialize in cats and dogs. So if you're looking for something about exotics or birds, I'm not your girl. But if you want to look at cats and dogs all day, I have two dogs and a cat, two kids, and you know, it's a lot. And I'm a busy lady and I travel a lot. So I share a lot. And the goal of sharing is to connect with people. Cause like really at the end of the day, we're all humans, all on the same mission to help animals, right? So those are the people that I'm looking to connect with online. So if you're one of those people, please find me online.
Yeah. And everything is connected and we know exactly how busy you are. So thank you so much for joining us today. And this is a wrap for this show. So we're so excited to be doing this for all of you out there who are making life better for the animals. If you have a question you want us to answer, you just reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook under Whisker Media, and we'll try to answer it in a future podcast episode. And as we always say, bark loud and purr smart. Bye, guys.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.